ground, taking samples and photographs. One of the men holds something that looks rather like a staff, which he plants into the sand at regular intervals. They pass a lighthouse marooned on a rock, its jaunty red and white paint peeling, and a beach where a recent rockfall means that they have to wade in the sea, splashing through the shallow water. Now the coastline has transformed into a series of little coves, which appear to have been eaten out of the soft, sandstone cliff. Their progress slows when they have to clamber over rocks slippery with seaweed and the remains of old sea walls. One of the men falls into the water, and the other men laugh, the sound echoing in the still evening air. The woman trudges on ahead, not looking back. Eventually, they reach a spot where the cliff juts out into the sea, forming a bleak headland. The land curves away sharply, leaving a V-shaped inlet where the tide seems to be moving particularly fast. White-topped waves race towards jagged rocks, and the seagulls are calling wildly. High up, on the furthest point of the cliff, is a grey stone house, faintly Gothic in style, with battlements and a curved tower facing out to sea. A Union Jack is flying from the tower.
"Sea's End House," says one of the men, stopping to rest his back.
"Doesn't that MP live there?" asks another.
The woman has stopped at the far side of the bay and is looking across at the house. The battlements are dark grey, almost black in the fading light.
"Jack Hastings," she says. "He's an MEP."
Although the woman is the youngest of the four and has a distinctly alternative look, purple spiky hair, piercings, and an army surplus jacket, the others seem to treat her with respect. Now one of the men says, almost pleadingly,
"Don't you think we should knock off, Trace?"
The man holding the staff, a bald giant known as Irish Ted, adds,
"There's a good pub here, the Sea's End."
The other men stifle smiles. Ted is famous for knowing every pub in Norfolk. No mean feat in a county reputed to have a pub for every day of the year.
"Let's just walk this beach," says Trace, getting out a camera. "We can take some GPS readings."
"Erosion's bad here," says Ted. "I've been reading about it. Sea's End House has been declared unsafe. Jack Hastings is in a right old 2 and 8. Keeps ranting on about an Englishman's home being his castle."
They all look up at the grey house on the cliff. The curved wall of the tower is only 2 or 3 feet from the precipice. The remains of a fence hang crazily in mid-air.
"There was a whole garden at the back of the house once.
Summer house. The lot," says Craig, one of the men.
"My granddad used to do the gardening."
"Beach is silted up too," says Trace. "That big storm in February has shifted a lot of stone."
They all look towards the narrow beach. Below the cliffs, banks of pebbles form a shelf, which then falls steeply into the sea. It's an inhospitable place. Hard to imagine families picnicking here, children with buckets and spades, sunbathing adults.
"Looks like a cliff fall," says Ted.
"Maybe," says Trace. "Let's get some readings anyway."
She leads the way along the beach, keeping to the edge of the cliff. A sloping path leads from Sea's End House down to the sea, and fishing boats are moored higher up, above the tide line, but the sea is coming in fast.
"There is no way off the beach this side," says the man whose grandfather was a gardener. "We don't want to get cut off."
"It's shallow enough," says Trace. "We can wade."
"The current's treacherous here," warns Ted.
"We'd better head straight for the pub."
Trace ignores him. She is photographing the cliff face, the lines of grey and black, with the occasional shocking stripe of red. Ted plunges his staff into the ground and takes a GPS reading. The third man, whose name is Steve,